This is Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30, and this is God's word, and it says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." Now, we don't have time to unpackage all of the theology in this passage. And if you want to talk more about, I know when we were doing back in the Ephesians series, in Ephesians 1, we talked about predestination and what that is and what that means. And if that's something that's kind of on your heart and you're not sure about that, you know, I encourage you to, you know, I'd be glad to talk to you at another time, or you can email me. But for today, I just want to focus on the idea that God is the one who brings us to salvation. Okay, this is wholly a work of God. And here, even in this passage, it talks about this term, justified, being justified. And we have a kind of theological idea of justification. Okay, and I'm going to talk about that very briefly. Basically, what justification is, it means that you are declared righteous by God. Right? So this is a legal term. You can imagine we're in, you know, court. I'm guilty. God has my rap sheet, and it has all the bad things that I've done, but it has all of my sin. And so I'm basically, it's over for me. You know, if God is a just judge, which he is, then I have to face the punishment for my rap sheet. And Jesus, being my lawyer, okay, does something completely unorthodox, right? Instead of my rap sheet, Jesus gives God his own rap sheet, which is perfect, right? Because he is sinless. And he pays the punishment that I'm supposed to pay, and so I'm okay, right? We call this imputed righteousness, right? So God assigns Jesus' righteousness to us. So if you're a believer in Jesus, you have already been assigned Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' holiness. So positionally, you're holy. You're just automatically, the day you put your faith in Christ for salvation, you are declared righteous by God. You don't participate in that. You don't do anything to earn that. It's not based on your predisposition or, you know, who you were before, or that you're a little less of a sinner than, let's say, like a drug dealer or a murderer. There's nothing like that. Right? It is all the work of God. Now, this is hard for people to accept sometimes. If you're not a believer, that might be hard for you to accept. I was actually talking with an unbeliever one time, and you know, I kind of was explaining to him the gospel, and I was like, "Hey, you know, let's just call him John." I was like, "Hey, John, you know, basically, this is all the work of God. You know, if you put your faith in Christ, you can be saved. That's what the Bible says. You know, but it's all based on Jesus' work, not your work." And he was like, "Well, you know what? I'd rather either be saved on my own merits, or just go to hell." Like, he just told me that straight to my face. He was like, "You know what? If I deserve hell, then I'd rather just take that and not accept God's grace." Now, some people think that that is nobler in some sense. Right? It's like, yeah, I'd rather work for it. You know, isn't it better if you work for it? Isn't it better if you earn it on your own? But in truth, it's not noble. It's arrogant. Right? It's arrogant to think that there is something that we can do that's going to turn God around, that's going to change his mind about our righteousness, that we can go back and undo all of the bad things we've done by doing something good right now. That doesn't make sense. Right? I could help a bunch of... If I stole something from someone, right, I could not steal anything from anyone for, you know, 10 years... And then the cops, they come find me. They're like, "Hey, you know, we're arresting you for burglary." I'm like, "Wait, but for the past 10 years, I didn't steal anything." That doesn't make sense, right? It's like, I still have to pay the penalty for what I did. And that is the reality that faces all of us. Now, all this to say, we don't participate in justification. It's completely a work of God. It is just positional holiness. God just declares you holy. But, now, here's where some of us get messed up, God in his love for us wants more for us than just positional holiness. Right, so yeah, you're declared righteous and you're granted salvation, you're going to go to heaven, but God wants more for us than just that positional holiness. He wants actual holiness. Right? He actually wants us to manifest holy living in our lives. And so that's what we're going to spend the rest of the time talking about. If you guys have your Bibles again, let's go to Colossians. Flip over to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, we're going to start in verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 in verse 1. This is God's word, and it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Now, this passage also goes over kind of that idea of justification, right? You've died, right? If you've been raised with Christ, then positionally you've changed. You're no longer who you once were. You have died to that, right? Sanctification, however, you know, becoming like Jesus, this process of becoming holy, that's what sanctification means. Unlike justification, doesn't happen like that in a moment, but rather from the time you get saved until heaven, you're going to progressively be in this process of becoming more and more like Jesus, right? Of becoming holier, in a sense, manifest holiness, even though positionally you're already declared holy, right? See, Paul here, he summarizes the whole of our lives, right? He says, past, present, and future. He says, verse 3, "For you've died," that's your past. "Your life is hidden with Christ in God," that's your present. "And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory," that's your future. Right, so, the past is over. Our sinful life, the life that we lived before we knew Jesus, that's over. Positionally speaking. Now, right now, the present, our life is hidden with Christ in God. That means that we're growing into who we are. Right? It's not something that happens instantaneously. It's something that we have to grow into. Right? You know, on June 25th, you know, 2011, I became a husband. Right? On that day. That's, no, like I'm married, right? So that's when I became a husband. Now, on that day, do you think that I was a perfect husband? Of course I was. No, I'm just kidding. No, I wasn't, right? I was terrible, you know? And I'm still learning now how to be a husband and grow into that role. But positionally, like my title, my status changed on that day, right? Before that, I was not married. After that day, I was married. That just happened in an instant. But me learning what that means, learning how to grow into that, it takes time. Right? It takes me. And when you look at this passage and these words, he says, "Seek the things that are above." Then he repeats himself. He says, "Set your mind on things that are above." Right? And this idea of seeking the things that are above, seeking the things that are where Christ is seated, where Jesus reigns. Seeking Jesus' reign over the whole of your life. Right? When it says, set your mind on things that are above, that's not like just think about. It's not think about. It's be decided. It's make a decision about. Right? So it's not just that we should think about Jesus, like, you know, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Like, that doesn't make sense, right? That's not going to make us holier. Just sitting in our rooms, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. You know, like, that's not going to make you holier, but in order for us to be in the process of sanctification, we actually have to be decided. Are you actively decided on what your life is going to be? Right? Do you really realize what's happening? So there's kind of two ideas when it comes to sin, and they're both covered in this passage. And the Puritans kind of gave these words, these names to these things. And then the first one that we're talking about now is kind of, it's called vivification. You know, vivification. The other one is mortification, which a lot of you guys probably know, but this is kind of lesser known. But what it means is coming alive to righteousness. It means kind of the sense of like almost awakening to the idea of who you are, who you now are. Right? You know, Romans 12:2 gives us kind of some insight into this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Right? Don't be conformed to it, be transformed. Your mind is renewing. Right? That by testing you may discern what the will of God is. What is the will of God, excuse me? What is good and acceptable and perfect? So we should not be conformed to the world, but we should be kind of awakened to God transforming us, to God renewing our minds. Right? Now, let me give you another example. Recently, you know, Bumi and I, we moved. You know, we moved from Buena Park to Brea, right? Like, we used to live off the 5, you know, where Beach is, and we moved to Brea off the 57, right, where Imperial is. And so, you know, if you've ever moved, you know that, like, things change. Like, when we first moved, I would, like, wake up in the morning, and I'd be like, oh, shoot, where am I? You know, because things were unfamiliar. I'd be like, oh, yeah, like, we moved, right? Like, I no longer live in the same place that I used to live, right? Like, we would be going home from church, you know, and I'm supposed to take the 91 East, but I would get on the 5 North, you know? So I'm getting on the 5 North, and we're driving, and, you know, Boomy's in the car, and Boomy's really nice about this, so every time I make a wrong direction, she waits until she's certain that I made a mistake, and then she's like, where are we going, you know? And I'm like, oh, shoot, you know, we're going the wrong way. Like, we're not going to where we're supposed to be going. Because positionally, you've changed in holiness, but in your life, some of the old habits are there, right? You're still doing the same things, but you got to wake up and realize that's not who you are anymore. Right? You don't live there anymore. And so when you face the same challenges, the same times where before you would just join in and just gossip, right? You would just rage, you know, just like you always did, right? When some guy cuts you off, just rage like you always did. Just put up a, you know, a finger, choose one, right? Just say something out the window, you know, or throw something, or you would do these things, but when you realize, okay, that's not who I am anymore. Right? That's just not who I'm supposed to be anymore. You start thinking about it, and that awakens you to who you now are. Right? It makes you do crazy things sometimes. You know, just for me, even personally, like, something that's really been totally unexpected, I think, in my growth and my relationship with God is my reconciliation with my parents. You know, which, this is like a totally unexpected thing that I didn't try to do. I didn't really focus on or think about that much. But I think as God was kind of just sanctifying me and changing me, all of a sudden I started having like this better relationship with my parents where before I had all this baggage, and it just kind of started to melt away. Right? And to the point where now my dad and I, we like text each other. Which is crazy. I mean, if you would have told me 5 years ago, I'd be texting with my father. He uses like Kakao, you know, he says it in Korean, and I have to like think about it really hard so that I can text him back in Korean. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. I even helped him buy his smartphone, which was like just inviting him into my life, right, basically. You know, like, yeah, come on, Dad, invade my life, right? I mean, I really fear the day he gets Facebook. I think it's just Armageddon. It's going to just happen on that day, I think. I'm really scared. Like, if I get a friend request from my parents, I'm just going to freak out probably. But it's like weird things like that start to happen, right? Because we awaken to who we are in Jesus. Now, there's a flip side to this, right, is that we have to kill sin. We have to put sin to death, right? If we read on in Colossians 3:5, right? Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And I feel like this is more where we kind of don't do this. And it says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Put to death. You have to kill it. This is what the Puritans call mortification. Like mortification. Put sin to death. Now, I know I've said this before, but you cannot tame sin. You cannot tame sin. And that's really what sin management is. It's that I just need to bring my badness to a certain level where it's acceptable, where it's okay, where it's manageable. Right? But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you got to put that to death. Now, you know, one day I came home and Boomy was watching this documentary, right? I thought she watches a lot of documentaries. She watches this documentary. It's called Elephant in the Living Room. Okay? Elephant in the Living Room. And what it is, it's about people who keep dangerous animals as pets. Okay, like these like poisonous snakes and stuff, right? They keep like these ridiculous, I don't know, these crazy like jungle animals, right? One guy, okay? This one guy, Terry Brumfield, okay, he had a lion. He kept a lion as a pet. As a pet, he like raised them. He raised them since he was a cub. This is just like stupid crazy to think about, right? And this is what he said. He said, to me, he's a big old house cat, a big old teddy bear. That's what he said. A lion! Okay, this is a full-grown lion. And what inevitably happened, of course, a lion escapes, right? And he gets out on the freeway, starts attacking cars on the freeway, right? And they come to this guy, they're like, what are you thinking? And he's like, well, I don't know, he's just like a cat to me, you know? Like a house cat, come here, you know, like, come here, lion. Right? And I think about that, and I'm like, you know what? Like, what do you think that lion is thinking? That lion is thinking, I own you, man. Like, anytime I want to kill you, I could do it. But hey, you know, you're taking care of me, so I'm just going to chill here. Right? I'm gonna chill out in this cage. I'm just going to, you know, laze around until my opportunity comes. And that's sin. You know, if one of y'all came in here with, like, a lion on a leash, I would be like, get out of here! What is wrong with you? You need help. But that's all of our sin. And yet, for many of us, we feel content to keep it on a leash. And I gotta manage, though. It's only sometimes. It's only once in a while. Right now, I'm not saying that we should... Well, I'm not saying that we can achieve, I should say, perfection in this life. Sanctification is a growth process that we're going to be engaged in until we get to heaven. But what really is the problem is not necessarily that you sin, it's your attitude towards sin. Right? Because so many of us, we sin and there's no guilt, right? There's no confession and there's no repentance and there's no fire. There's just easy, quick forgiveness. That's alright. It's cool. And Jesus loves me. Even worse, right, than that is to say, you know what though? It's been so long. I haven't done this in a long time. And so, it's cool. Now, beyond that, okay, when I first became a Christian, there were serious sins, you know, that I had to deal with. And even after I was a Christian, you know, there were things that I struggle with. Right? Things that I still struggle with sometimes. Now, but beyond that, beyond even sin, you know, sin is something that we will struggle with. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 gives us insight into even beyond sin, right? So Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, you don't have to turn there, but you can look on the screen. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I want you to pay close attention to what it says. It says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Right, so sin obviously is a weight, but it says, let us lay aside every weight and sin. So there are other weights that are not sin. So there are some things in our lives that are not necessarily sin, that are not necessarily sinful inherently or explicitly, like the Bible doesn't say, you can't do that. But what this says is, look, wake up, right? We're running this race. We are running this race for Jesus because this life that we're going to live here, it's finite. There's only so many years. And after that, it's eternity. And whatever you did here, that's just going to last for eternity. Either it meant something or it didn't mean anything, right? You can't go back and change it. So he's saying, when you're here on this earth running this race, not only should we be throwing off sin, but we should also be throwing off other things that distract us, other things that hinder us, other things that weigh us down, other things that pull our passion away from Jesus toward the world. But for many of us, we've made space for these things in our lives, right? And then we even have this kind of attitude, right? If someone comes up to us and says, like, hey man, I think this is maybe becoming a problem, even though it's not explicitly sin. But I feel like maybe this is becoming an idol, or maybe this is something that you're just kind of struggling with. But you're like, hey, where does it say that in the Bible? Just show me in the Bible where it says, I can't do this. Show me in the Bible where it says, I'm not allowed to, you know, fill in the blank. But isn't that really just an immature attitude? And let's just be honest, right? Isn't that just, if you really want passion for Christ, if you really want to follow Jesus, what are you doing? Why would you even ask that question? Now this is getting into some things that I want to say before we close, but there are barriers, okay, to sanctification. Now some of you may feel like, hey, I do want to live like this, you know, I do want to walk in holiness, I do want to manifest the manifest holiness of Jesus to like shine through my life, but it's tough. And there are a couple reasons, I think maybe two things primarily that make it very difficult to actually walk in holiness. The first barrier, and I talk about this all the time, but it's covering up. Okay? It's lying or hiding. Right? This is the first barrier. And I always say this, but social media today has trained us to cover up. Social media has trained us to only share certain things because it's getting to know someone on this bite-sized portion level. You can control what people see. You can control what people hear, what people know about you. And so, you know, you always post pictures of, like, you know, you and your girlfriend, like, out on a date, and, like, you know, the sun is just setting, and it's like the wind is blowing, and there's doves in the background, right? And it's like, oh, I love, you know, everything, you know, hashtag life is good. Like, that's what it is, right? It's like, that's what you show, right? But come on, that's total just, like, BS, okay? Honestly, like, that's not your life, right? That's just that one moment, right? Nobody gets in a huge fight with their girlfriend and then takes a picture of both of you, like, all mad and, like, crying. And, like, you know, hashtag, I want to be single again. Like, you know, nobody does that, right? Because you will be single again and probably forever, right? So we don't do that. You know, everybody takes, like, a cute picture of their baby. No one takes a picture of their baby when they just, like, pooped. You know, like, oh, my baby annoys me. You know, like, hashtag, like, whatever. Like, nobody does that, right? Because that would be terrible. But we hide those parts of our lives. And we keep those things to ourselves. But if that's your way of living, if that's what you think interaction with society is supposed to be like, particularly in the church, right? If you come into the, and this is why people like big churches, because you can just go and sit there and no one will talk to you, right? Or you can escape being unknown. If that's what you think it's like to be a Christian, you're never going to grow in holiness. I can just tell you right now. You know, you'll always have some excuse. You'll always have some self-justification. You'll always have ways of hiding and shifting things and making it so that you remain unknown. And then that's never going to bring you to bear on repentance. Right? There are things that you have to be able to own and say, you know what? I am this way. You know what? I'm sorry. You know what? I made a mistake. Now that kind of speaks a little bit to the second barrier. I think the second barrier is dealing only with symptoms and not the disease. Right? Or to put it another way, it's dealing only with fruits and not with roots. So, a lot of times, what we end up doing is we deal with the fruit of sin. So, something, some bad behavior, this is where we get into the whole idea of behavior modification, right? It's like, well, I do something, like I always get mad when something happens. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to adjust all my circumstances so I'm never in a situation where I'll get mad. You know, I always gossip when these people are around, so I'm just not going to hang out with them anymore. Right, so that's you going to the backyard where you got a sin tree and cutting off every fruit, right, and then throwing it away. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to come back tomorrow and all those are new fruits everywhere. And you're going to cut them all off again. Rather, we're supposed to be dealing with the roots of sin, the heart of sin, right? The Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Meaning, sin comes out of here. It's not just a behavior problem. It's not just a circumstance problem. It's deep inside your heart. And that's what we need to deal with. Now, let me throw some things out to you, okay? If you are always anxious, okay, there's something deeper in your heart that's causing your anxiety, not the circumstances of your life. You hear what I'm saying? If you're anxious all day, if you worry a lot, right, then there's something deeper in your heart. There is a deeper mistrust in your heart of God. There is a deeper idolatry in your heart. A deeper foundation that is causing you to be that way than just, well, it's because right now I'm in this circumstance. Well, it's because right now, you know, I'm on a job or something. It's because right now, you know, I'm this way. And if you think that getting that thing is going to heal that in you, it's not. Right? If you find yourself breaking relationships often, like you just went from like a group of friends to another group of friends to another group of friends, this is probably how it looks in your mind. Like, I was victimized. They were mean to me. They didn't treat me right. You know, they did all these things. And some of that might be true. I don't discount it, right? But likely what's happened is that you have never come to bear with your own sin as part of that. You've never come to see the roots in your own heart. And it doesn't matter. If it was 90% them and 10% you, you still got to own your 10%. Too often, our response to sin is just to address the effects, the circumstances, and the behaviors. But we need to get deep into the roots. Okay, so we cannot run from difficulty, you know, hardship when it comes to relationships, when it comes to the circumstances of our lives. We can't just guard against those things. Because oftentimes, God is the one who is bringing those things to draw up the sin that's in our hearts. If you are known in community, those sins will come out. If you are unknown, you remain by yourself, you are always guarded, of course those sins won't come out, because no one will know about them. Now, dealing with the dealing with the fruit and not the root also shows up in addiction. Okay? Addiction. And so what often happens is that we too quickly declare ourselves free of addiction. You know, so if you have some kind of substance abuse problem, let's say, then after like 2 weeks of not doing it, you'll say, okay, problem solved. You know? I did it. I solved it. I just stopped doing it. Right? But the question is, has the root been addressed? Right? If there's a struggle with pornography, and you don't just do it for a little while, the question is, have the roots been addressed? Being honest in community is the way to reveal the sin of your heart. It's the only way to reveal the sin of your heart. Right? I mean, you could try all you want on your own. You could go monastic. You could, like, fast and shave your head and live by yourself up in a mountain. You know, and you're still going to struggle with the same root sins. Right? Maybe the circumstances won't be there, but then you're just going to trick yourself into thinking you're holy. Because it's not manifesting itself the same way. 1 John 1, 8 to 10 says, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you guys. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Right? So if anyone thinks, well, I don't really have sin. I don't really struggle with anything. You know, every sin in my life that I've had or that I thought I had, I dealt with it. You know, or maybe some of them are lingering, but it's all right, I got it under control. If that's your attitude towards sin, you are deceiving yourself. Let me just tell you. Now, on the flip side, if we confess, this is the best part, right? This is why it makes no sense to try to act like you are a better person than you are. Because God is the one who forgives. Because God is the one who sanctifies. Because God is going to be the one who's going to come into your heart and transform you. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My only application, okay, is just to be known in community. Be known in community. And I don't care if that's here or if that's somewhere else, but with believers, be known and seek to be fully known. Now that might be a process and it might take time. I don't expect you guys all to be able to just turn to your neighbor during fellowship groups and just like pour out your soul and just tell them everything, you know, you've ever done and every hurt that's ever befallen you. I mean, obviously, okay, I'm not going to be unrealistic about that. But at the same time, it is crucial, right, to be known. Some of you guys, you don't know because nobody knows you. You don't even know your own sin because you don't allow anyone to know you, right? I learned so much more of how sinful I was after I got married, right? Because then you can't hide things. You know what? I just realized, man, I'm pretty, like, lazy. I'm pretty selfish. You know, I mean, I'm pretty mean. Like, there are a lot of times when I'm just thinking about me. You know, those things just kind of, like, pop up, right? And you get into fights, right? And that just happens. That's part of what it means to be a Christian and to walk faithfully with God. And I know some of you guys right now, you don't have that. I encourage you, seek to be honestly true known. Be able to confess, because Christ is the one, right? He's the one who accomplished the work. He's the one who died on the cross. He's the one who rose again from the dead. He's the one that we look to as our Savior and our Lord and our King. He's the one who will receive all glory and honor and praise. And when you just let go, not only is it foolish to try to act like you're better than you are, but it is such a burden. It is so crazy to think, man, I hope no one ever finds out about this stuff. And when you're able to let that go, when you let that go to God, and He's able to tell you, you're my child, you're my son, you're my daughter, that is so liberating and leads us to just real, true joy. That's what I want for all of us. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for His work, His perfect life, His death on the cross. We thank you, God, that when you see us as justified because of Christ. Help us, Lord God, in light of that identity to walk as children of the light. God, help us to fight sin. Help us to put it to death. Help us to be alive in you. God, and help us to walk in truth with one another in community. Free us from the burdens and the chains that we face. We lay them down before you, God, and we ask for your forgiveness. We thank you so much, God. We love you. We give you all glory. In Jesus' name.